Good evening. I'm going to talk to you about power, but before I do that, I want to recognize the veterans. Today's Veterans Day, and if you're a veteran, can you please stand? And if you don't mind, if you would just give them a hand, being a veteran. Thank you for your service. All right, we're in Genesis 32. We're going to start off in verse 28, and I'm going to read a verse. And if you'll please stand when you find it. Genesis 32:28 says, "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you, Father, for being in your house. Thank you, Father, for us being able to worship you freely in a free country. And God, and Father, thank you for a pastor that we have that preaches the word. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, for your strength. I pray, Lord, for your guidance, for your mercy. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that we may hear from you tonight. In your precious name I pray. Amen. So power. What is power? Just a few weeks ago, we experienced what the power shift can do in our politics with Democrats, Republicans, the House, Senate. Power is the ability to influence, to do something the way you want to do it. Power in politics, power in business. When you own 51% of a business, you have the majority. So many men fight for power. And so did Jacob. But Jacob fought for power in a different way. He got power by being untruthful. So the story of Jacob and Esau. So here you have Jacob and Esau here. Esau was an outdoor, he was mostly an outdoorsman, where Jacob was kind of a smooth guy. He was more like a mama's boy. He was a guy that likes to be in the tent. He kind of likes to be in the house doing things. Well, Isaac found favor in Jacob. So in Genesis 25, which we're going to go here, in Genesis 25, in verse 27. So here's where Jacob messed up. Jacob made his first mistake here. It says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in the tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field. And he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright." He was seeking power. "And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he said, eat and drink, And he did eat and drink and rose up and he went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So here you find Jacob wanting power, but wanting power in a different way. Now God had plans for Jacob, but Jacob didn't wait on those plans. Jacob wanted to have power and he found his brother vulnerable. And he did the unthinkable. He gave up, Esau gave him his birthright for just a bowl of soup, basically. So Jacob did it the wicked way. Kind of like today, we know where the votes went. I won't speak on that, but the wicked way, right? So, but where did Jacob get his power from? Because we know as the story progresses what happened. Now, Genesis 27, verse 1 and 2. This is the second time Jacob wanted power. Now, I want to explain what the birthright is. In the Eastern culture, the birthright gives you double portions of the inheritance. So meaning, that's kind of like today, if someone was to forge documents for a life insurance policy. So the firstborn was always there to get the birthright. That's a tradition. Now here in the, you know, here in the States, we have a will. Well, they did it a different way. They did it by blessing them. So Genesis 27 verse 1, the stolen blessing. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and he said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. So basically, he was on his deathbed. Jacob being smooth, and also Rebekah favored Jacob. So the story goes that Isaac told Esau to go out to hunt, fish him some venison, and come back and he'll bless him. But Rebekah and Jacob had other plans. Verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, the firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that hast found it so quickly? Because you know they didn't have microwaves back then, right? My son, and he said, because the Lord thy God brought it unto me. Deceiving. Power changes people. Power makes you do weird things. When you have the ability to influence, businessmen lie to the IRS. They lie to their employees. The politics lie to get your vote, and then as soon as they get in office, they do things their way. Power. Now, the blessing meant he would receive a double portion of his father's inheritance. The birthright, meaning that when the father dies, the patriarch dies, that the son will now be the head of the family and make all the decisions. So Jacob took about it on himself. And right here in the verse we were at, Genesis 32, we were at, fast forward, Jacob's on the run. Because Esau wants to kill him. Because Jacob not only stole his birthright, but his inheritance and everything else. Now, let's talk about power. Power cannot come from a physical force. Job told us that in Job verse 40. Job, verse 40 says, "Has thou an arm like God? Or can thou thunder with a voice like him?" I'm going to tell you how to get power. But power doesn't come from a physical form. Do you have an arm like God? No. When Peter walked on water, it wasn't on his own power, his own strength. It was on the strength of God. Because we know when Peter took his eyes off God, what happened? He started to sink. So physical force is where the power cannot come from. Nor it can be from a mental capacity. In Job 38, verse 4, it says, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." So you see, you don't understand how God sets boundaries for people. God gives power and he takes power. But power comes from God. Power doesn't come from stealing, because eventually you're going to get caught. So Jacob got caught and he was on the run because his brother Esau was about to kill him. So Jacob was fearful. So Jacob's physical force, or his conniving force, wasn't really power. It was all lies and deceit. So we don't have the mental capacity to understand everything that God does. And so we understand that God has power. Power comes from God. But power doesn't come from us. And so many people think, well, now that I got the majority, now we're going to do this. How about saying to God, "Hey, God, what do you want me to do? What shall I do? What will I do? What can I do?" Power. Power destroys families, and it split this family. This family became divided because Rebekah and her favorite son decided to deceive the father and the other son. Sometimes you have a husband and wife, and when the wife becomes the spokesperson for the family, or she becomes the head of the household, as God did not design, then that power is gone. If a pastor pastors a church and says, "It's all me. It's all me. I did that. That was my preaching that saved that young man," he ceases to have power. When you say that your finances come from your skill set, your mind, your bachelor's degree, your doctor's, your PhD, what are you saying? You said, "I did that." Power. Power cannot be magical. Turn with me to Isaiah 44:15. It says, "Then shall it be for man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth and baketh bread, yet he maketh a god and worship it. He maketh a graven image and falleth thereto." So, false idols. Power doesn't come in false idols. So power doesn't come in a physical form. It doesn't come in your mental capacity. And it doesn't come in false idols or false prophets or false gods. We have a lot of churches that preach that. They preach and they preach and they preach and they make an idol. And they make a statue. Power doesn't come from that. So again, you can't have power from that. It can't be a magical thing that you do, or a ritual like burning incense or doing something. Power has to come from above. Power has to come from God. There's power in prayer. But again, not like fancy prayers, like people pray in public. Power comes from you going to that prayer closet. Power comes from you getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and praying for someone. That's power. But the way Jacob received it was not right. Power comes from the God, our God, his goodness, his tenderness, his mercy, his faithfulness. During troubled times, we pray. God promised us that he would be with us. Isaiah 43:26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Plead is an emotional appeal. Let us plead together. Please, God, don't leave me. Please, God, don't forsake me. Please, God, be there for me. Pleading. Declare that thou mayest be justified, may be righteous with you. Pleading, and he'll plead with us. It's an emotional appeal, but you're pouring your heart out. The power grows with each blessing. When God answers a prayer, the power grows. And you begin to pray and begin to pray and begin to pray. Instead of stealing, instead of lying, instead of cheating, now you depend on God. Because power, again. Now, Isaac was near death, right? Isaac was blind. And we know Isaac was blind. And so Jacob took advantage. He found opportunity. And he took advantage. And when he took advantage of him, his own father, his own blood. How many families have split up because of that? Power. How many husbands and wives go through court and they fight for custody of the kids? The house, the money, the cars. Power. It changes people. The right power to have is the power with God. The power to influence Christians. Not just for yourself. Don't be selfish. Power comes with the blessing. If you say you have power today, there's power in Jesus. There's power in God. Now, that power that God gives us grace. Kind of like a father and a child relationship. That power. That power of that little girl when she asks us dad for something, for some more candy. Right? We come to God honestly. Matthew 7 comes to mind. Matthew 7 and verse 7 says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jacob didn't ask. He didn't ask God. He took it, right? If you ask God for something, and if you're in line with God, then you will actually receive the blessing. But first you have to seek, knock. And verse 11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So, when you have a need, you want to pray and ask God to fulfill that need. Don't go selling things. Don't go cheating on your taxes. Ask God for it. But ask him. Just like a father would give to his kids, how much more would he give to you? For those of you who have children, and your child says, hey, mom, I'm hungry. That mother's not going to just ignore that child and that growling stomach. She's going to feed that child. Just like God will take care of our every need if we just ask. But we're too proud to ask because we want the power to say we did it on our own. How can the power be exercised? It must be a deep sense of weakness first. You must realize that you need God first. You must realize that you need him. Because without him, you're nothing. And I'm nothing. Corinthians 12, in verse 10. It says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. So you have to have a sense of humility. There must be a deep sense of weakness to let Christ know that you need him, that you need him. Without that deep sense of weakness in praying, you're saying that you can do things by yourself. Remember, it's not physical force, it's not mental force. It's not by lying, stealing, and cheating, excuse me. And it must be a simple faith. That simple, simple faith. Again, this power can be exercised by having a humility, a deep sense of weakness. But also, John says it must be simple faith. In the book of John, John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. He that believeth. The key word is believing. Believing that there's a great sense of hope. Believing that all power comes from above. Believing that you can do nothing without Christ. Having that simple faith that he believeth on me, I shall deliver. Christ always come through. In my life, he's came through. I can't count that high. And for those of you saying, well, yeah, but that's you, Brother Terry. I don't know if Christ come through me or come for me. Trust me, if you're here and you're breathing today and you don't have the coronavirus and you're sitting in church, then he has came through for you. Amen. Keep in mind that Christ is all you need to get through. There is a need of simple faith. That simple faith. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also. And greater works than these shall be. These shall he do because I go unto the Father. Go unto him. Jesus and the Father is one. And you must obey. Earnest obedience to the Father. In John 9, just a couple of chapters over, John 9:31 says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Key word, not sinners. Jacob at the time was a sinner. He did wrong, he lied, and he was on the run. It says here, now we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So God hears his people. You have to be in line with God to receive the blessing. You have to understand that in order to receive power from God, you have to be in line with God. You can't be out of the will of God and receive power. Because there's somebody else who gives power, and it's not God. It's the power of darkness. So be careful where your power comes from. Be careful where you're getting your power from. Because the wrong power will get you in a lot of trouble. Again, and you have to have perseverance. Perseverance. You have to be willing not to just pray once, not to pray twice, but be like Jacob. Turn me to Genesis 32. So here you have Jacob. He know you messed up. Perseverance, make it clear what you want. So Genesis 32:26 says, and he said, let me go for the daybreaker. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. So Jacob is wrestling. Because Jacob was alone, and we know that, right? We know who he was wrestling with. And he said, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. So he was fighting, or wrestling with God. Pleading. Because he knew he messed up. He had perseverance. He didn't give up. He had perseverance that if I wrestle with him, I'm not going to let him go. And he wrestled all night with him. All night. Verse 26 says, and he said, let me go. For the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless thee. So when you go to God in prayer, make it clear what you want or what you need in that hour. But don't let him go. Keep praying. Can you imagine how that looked? Wrestling with God, wrestling with him all night. He was only a sinner that was saved by grace, but he got onto God and he held on and he stayed there. And for us Christians, instead of a 5-minute prayer and then you go to bed and then you forget about it and you don't ask God again, how about holding on to him a little while longer? How about holding on to him until you know, you make it clear, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. How much more prayers would have got answered if Christians would have been stronger rather than weaker and had perseverance? I'm not letting you go. Almost at the point of annoyance, Genesis 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, for those of you who have kids, kids won't leave you alone until they get what they want, right? Mom, 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 dad, 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 huh? Mom, mom, right? It's annoying. But they get what they want. Then they ask you again every 5 minutes. Mom, can I have some candy? No. Dad, can I have some candy? No. Mom, can I have some candy? No. And they do that over and over and over and over again until they get what they want. And 9 times out of 10, if they ask dad, they're going to get what they want, right? How many times? That's annoying. That's how we should be to God. God, Father, 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 Father. Sounds ignorant, but it's true. Because that's what Jacob did. Just like a little kid, I'm not going to let you go until you give me what I want. I want that candy, and I'm not, hey, I want those Skittles out of the store, and I'm going to scream and scream until I get it, right? Again, perseverance, persistence, and the whole heart needs to be poured out. The whole heart. Jacob was lame, but he prevailed. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33:23 says this, thy tacklings are loose. They cannot well strengthen their mass. They cannot spread the sail. Then is the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame take the prey. He was lame, but he prevailed. He prevailed under God's power. So again, the power can be exercised by you seeking God, knowing what you want to ask for, be specific, but you got to be obedient. For what use do you want the power? Why do you want power from God? How can this apply to my life? Why do I want power from God? For deliverance from personal trial. From comfort, strength, and growth. For honor. He said, you're no more Jacob, you're Israel. Kind of like Abraham, the father of faith. He earned that right. But for deliverance from a personal trial, maybe that you're going through, or maybe for someone else, don't be selfish with your power. Pray on someone else's behalf. Pray on your mother's behalf, your father's behalf, your friend's behalf, your co-worker's behalf. But the power comes from above, not from you. You know, Christians, some of us have a weak prayer life, and some of us don't. If you have a weak prayer life, give somebody you know in the church that has a stronger prayer life. There's a verse in the Bible says that the elders teach the young, right? So pair yourself up with somebody that has a good prayer life. Men, young men, pair yourself up with an old guy who maybe have been there and done that, have been on his own before, like Brother Ben is on his own now, right? Maybe he can seek the advice from someone else. But use that power not just for yourself and for your own gain, like some do. Use it for the will of God. If you have the will to stand up here, and if God called you to the ministry, then pray for that power, and God will give it to you. Pray. Pray for your pastor. Use that power that God has given you to pray for your pastor, to pray for those who are lost. God gives grace as a father does to his child and forgives and comes back over and over and over again. God forgives. The book of Hosea, there's a verse I'm looking for in Hosea. Hosea 12:4. Ye had the power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake to us. The whole heart must be poured out. He had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. Again, the whole heart must be poured out. Now, when you use that power, don't use it all for yourself. Use it for others, for your wives. Jacob's wives and children were saved because of that. Jacob prayed and begged God. Remember, Jacob was afraid that Esau was going to kill him and his family. So Jacob split up the camp, right? Jacob split the camp up and he sent some servants before him. Jacob got afraid and said, Esau is still going to kill me. But he got the power from God and he held on to God. And Esau's heart was softened. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if you had a little brother who stole your inheritance, stole all the money, and he ran off with the money, and now you meet him again? Think you're going to go shoot ball with him, shake his hand, and go bowling, right? Probably not. So Jacob knew what was coming because Esau said, I will kill Jacob. But Jacob got a hold of God. And got a hold of some of his power. And God answered his prayer because he would not let go. He prayed. With God's power, Moses led his people out of Egypt. Did he not? With God's power. He split the Red Sea, pardoned the Red Sea. Moses led his people out of bondage. Over 40 years of bondage. The most important thing about the power and about Jacob is, after all, he blessed him. After all Jacob did, stealing, running off, he blessed him. If you don't believe me, turn to Genesis 32, verse 29. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. The main thing is he got the blessing. God may not be specific in everything about his power, but he was blessed. Here's a story of a man who ran away, who did all kinds of things. And we think maybe in your life, you've done some wrong things. Maybe you've done some things that you're not proud of. There's plenty of them in the Bible that did things that they're not proud of. But the main thing is, came back to God. Asked for forgiveness. Was humble. Was weak. Admitted he needed God. And God blessed him. If God can do that, he can save you if you still think you're going to hell. All you got to do is ask. Acts 1:7-8, because God may not be specific about everything, but because we don't need to know everything, God knows everything. And he said unto him, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. He said, you should receive power to be witnesses. So when you're at work, share God's power with someone. The story of Jesus Christ, so that they may have that power. So that they may can save their family, just like Jacob was able to preserve his family. If we have it, let us not lose it. Let us not lose that balance with Jesus Christ. Let us not lose it. When you see a church close, they lost their power because they started thinking about, hey, let's get a band up here. Hey, let's do this. Hey, let's do that. Let's get out of the Word of God and entertain. And when you start entertaining people and you say, it's all about my power and all about me, you've lost it. And I challenge you today that if you lost your power in prayer, or if you prayed and prayed, and you prayed and prayed more, and you still not got a blessing from God, repent and get your power back. Amen? Let us pray and be dismissed.